From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
If you can't figure out a way to make the best big man in basketball useful, then it's probably on you. I don't know what the Kings are doing. I don't know what the game plan is.
I disagree with a couple things there. I don't think talent trumps everything. I do think you have to take into account whether or not the guy is too much of a pain in the ass. Having said that, if you're the Kings and he's under contract through 2017-18, why make this deal? If you've decided he's too much of a pain in the ass,
that's the best you can get?
Exactly. Speaking of USA Today, they've done their projections for the tournament. They got Villanova, Kansas, Gonzaga, North Carolina as their top four.
Villanova is an interesting one for me because I think this Villanova team is still really good. I don't think they're as good as last year because they don't have a big anymore. But they won a game this weekend where they shot 67%. I just worry that they're going to have a night where they're not shooting 67% right from the field.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, lots of good stuff on podcastarena.com. Just go check it out. Some of what you heard there, plus hairband stuff and all kinds of just fun stuff today, because that's what we do. I hope Lamont's kidding in this question he asked. In your opinion, which had more to offer to music, disco or hair bands? You realize I came up in the hair band era and disco was the sworn enemy of anything rock and roll, right? I assume you know that, Lamont, so I don't have to answer that question.
Hair band killed disco like grunge killed hair band.
Pretty much. Although the difference was grunge was not all that far away from being hair bands. The music was basically the same minus lead guitars and slowed down. It essentially was the same thing. Disco.
Well,
was
it also wasn't about
album.
Looking pretty and
no, the content was different. That's
because,
no question.
Because hair bands took while the music was obviously better from hair bands, they took the look of disco and kind of like the spinny lights and long hair.
Well, that actually came from glam before disco. So. No, hair band music was about, grunge had tried to take on more social issues, and hair band music was basically about trying to get laid, trying to beg women to have sex with you, explaining to them why having sex with you is a good idea, suicide, and occasionally a rock anthem. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
If you want to go through and look at every single hair band song, I guarantee you that's what 95% of them were about.
I'm not a hair band guy, but I like hair band way more than disco.
Well, disco's like Def Leppard. You hear one song, you've heard them all.
It's no good.
And yeah, I grew up despising disco because that's what you did if you were in a rock band. But yeah, I think the thing about grunge was, instead of just being about pure sex and things like that, they actually tried to tackle some issues. And I would say drug use, hair band, a few songs about drug use there too. That's pretty high on the list.
Yeah.
So 713-780-ESPN. So let's go to the HR&P listener line for a couple calls. Let's try Chris. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, a while back, there was a movie that came out called Tusk, and one of the guys one of the main characters in the movie was he did a radio show. It was called the Nazi Party, the NOTSEE Party, and I just thought it was kind of funny because he came up missing, and his girlfriend tried to call the cops, and she told him what he did and how he was on this radio show called the Nazi Party, and all the cops just always hung up on him, and yeah. I'm not going to go into the whole movie because it's kind of weird, but
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I
movie?
Just thought it'd be interesting to know.
Kevin Smith movie, right? I haven't watched it. I've heard of it. But
Disco Biscuit. Wow, I turn on this radio and have to listen to this disco slander. Rude.
Sorry, Biscuit.
Well, I'm not slandering Biscuits. I'm only half slandering you.
I do love biscuits, though.
Yeah, who doesn't love biscuits?
It's good.
Disco, not so much. So you're halfway there. All right, let's try Ben.
I'll take the back half.
What's up, Ben? Go, Ben.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing sports.
Sports, you guys, too. Hey, so Texas basketball, yeah, we really stuck this year, like, real bad.
Yes.
I got to think, though, that, you know, if you look at kind of the 17 losses we've had so far, it's, you know, mostly 2 to 5 point losses. And there's just no point guard on this team. You got Kerwin Roach trying to run the point or Andrew Jones trying to run the point. Those guys are turning it over 6, 7, 10 times a game. You know, you got to feel better with a guy like Matt Coleman coming in next year, who's, you know, some people have him as a 5-star, right? You got to think that he's got to be worth, you know, assuming you can get Andrew Jones and Jared Allen to come back, which may be a bit of an uphill battle now, but you got to think that they could easily win 10 more games next year, right?
I don't know if they can win 10 more games. I don't know. I mean, maybe. Maybe they get back to – because they won 20 last year. Maybe they get back to 20 next year. But I you're looking at it as a glass half full kind of thing. I'm looking at them mostly compared to the teams they were expected to be competing against at the beginning of the season. They were picked third in the Big 12. Big 12, arguably, I'd say probably the second best conference in the country in basketball this year. They were picked to finish third in that conference. Instead, they're probably going to finish dead-ass last. They haven't won a single road game, non-conference, zero games away from home, zero games outside the Irwin Center. That's pathetic. And then I look at them against the teams that were also picked near the top of the Big 12. They played West Virginia close. Everybody else has just drubbed them. And that was West Virginia at home. I'm sure they'll get drubbed tonight. They got drubbed at Kansas, drubbed at Baylor. They still got home games with Kansas and Baylor. They'll likely get drubbed in those. I just don't – I'm not taking much promise out of what I've seen from them this season. Even in the non-conference, they've been – they were losing teams – or losing to teams that I just thought they had no business losing to. And – I thought maybe it would take them a couple weeks to get into a groove, and then they just never got into a groove. They're just not good, and I don't know that they're one player away from being good.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in or text the show or hit us up on Twitter or whatever.
It's so funny. I remember looking back at when they lost to UT Arlington, and I said, you know, everybody was losing their mind because they just lost to UT Arlington, and that was like the first time where I was like, okay, that's not that big of a deal because UT Arlington's a tournament team. I was way more concerned when, you know, they were losing to Northwestern. And but I still think UT Arlington's a tournament team, but I just didn't realize that it was going to continue to get worse. And Northwestern's probably still a tournament team, although they're – I would say they're sort of bubbly at this point. And they lost to Colorado, who's probably not a tournament team either. But – I remember thinking after that UT Arlington loss, maybe they'll turn it around, and they just never did. I don't know what the issue is. I don't know if it's something that they can fix in a year, and I don't know if it's something that one guy will fix.
Well, I mean, he's far enough along in his career where the team should not be regressing.
No,
so. 713-780-ESPN.
And I'm going to try to text Kirk Bowles and see if we can get him on the show. And he's got some good insight into this. But they're 4-10 in the Big 12, and they still have games at West Virginia and with Baylor and Kansas left on the schedule. They've got four games left. Texas Tech is one of them at Texas Tech, which, again, I reiterate, they've not won a game on the road yet at West Virginia tonight. And then their two home games remaining are Baylor and Kansas, which are games that I would be shocked if they won. So they're probably going to finish dead-ass last in the conference, which is just really unacceptable. But Shock has got 5 years left on his contract. I would guess, you know, they're not looking to pay some huge buyout because guess what? They just did that. So, all right. What am I doing here, John? I thought that's what you said. Guys, I got to tell you about Window World of Houston. They are providing premium quality replacement windows at a fantastic price, and their energy-saving windows are made right here in the United States of America. Carry the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. They're fantastic, I tell you. They've become the country's number one window company by offering a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, and a low price that starts at just $189. The first step to reducing your energy bills, call Window World of Houston. Schedule your free written estimate. No hassles, no high pressure. You got nothing to lose, guys. Call 713-439-1172 or go online at windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. Doors and siding also available. Window World, simply the best for less.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Patrick Starr, who does State of the Texans, does a really good job.
Also SpongeBob's best friend,
indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
Thought so.
Not so much Squidward. I think there's a little jealousy going on there.
Maybe.
But he did a real nice job breaking down what would have to happen for the structure of a deal for Tony Romo in order to keep everybody else. And okay. It's way too much detail to go into on air, but if you just go to State of the Texans, and you'll find it.
All right.
Just passing that on.
Are you saying there's a chance?
Well, it can be done. It's basically what we've talked about. The first year would have to be a small cap number, and then you sign him to additional years.
Right.
Where you'd pay him after Osweiler's off the books, but it breaks it down in detail.
But then imagine you sign him to big money in year two or year three, and he gets hurt.
Well, and he will get hurt. That's why I wouldn't. Right. I would do a 2-year deal where I back in the second year, but there's not much. It's not very painful if I have to whack him then.
Ugh.
But we'll see. It is possible. It's just I'm not sure. I think the term that they have for it's too long. But like I said, a lot of detail there. That's just too much to dive into, and plus it's salary cap crap. So let's squeeze Jay in. On the HRMP listener line. What's up, Jay?
Hey, fellas, how you doing, man?
We're doing sports.
All right, check it out, man. I have two questions, and I'll let you guys go ahead and talk about it. First question is, I saw last yesterday, Boobie Cousins going to the Pelicans. So what does that mean for the Rockets, man? What's next for the Rockets? What kind of moves do you think these guys are going to make? Because, honestly, I'm looking at it right now, and there's no way we're going to beat Memphis in a 7-game series with the big dogs in the paint. You know, after watching the game against Miami the other day and how they just killed us on the boards, they killed us in the paint, there's no way in a 7-game series we'll be able to compete with those guys like that. And my second question is, T-Mac into the Hall of Fame. I personally would have never expected it. I don't personally think he had a Hall of Fame season, but evidently the people in the Hall think he did. So I just want to see you guys' thought on that also.
You know, we talked about the 50 greatest players last week, and now they're going to do the 75 greatest at the 75th anniversary. And Jong was saying, if they expand to 75, you're going to have a hard time not adding Tracy McGrady. And I think Jong said that. Jong, you were just talking about if you added 25 guys between now and then, right?
If you if we took, I think the number was 21 because it's been 21 years since the 50.
Right.
So I was saying, if you look back on all the players that has played since that list came out, it's very hard to not put them on that list.
But you could argue that there were people who played before that list came out that are more deserving if it expands to 75.
Yes.
Than T-Mac. Also, it doesn't have to be all new people.
And then also, we've talked about this maybe a couple years ago, but people that have won that scoring title, the NBA scoring title, all of them have made it to the NBA Hall of Fame.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I said I don't really consider him a Hall of Famer, but the Basketball Hall of Fame lets in everybody and their little brother. There's not a single Hall of Fame in any sport that if I were in charge of would have nearly as many players. But that's just
me. I'm kind of with you.
That's just me. I firmly believe that there's a lot of guys that get in that were just really good. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Did you see, I don't know if I, we have time to get into this? Yeah, I think we do.
Tracy McGrady is 66th on the all-time scoring list. By the end of this season, he'll get passed by Tony Parker, so he'll be 67th. But
how many people, how many NBA players are in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
How many players ahead of him on that list?
No, how many NBA players are in the actual Basketball Hall right now?
Oh, God, I couldn't even count.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot.
Is that something you could research, John? Because I'm just kind of curious.
I'm looking for it.
I'll just say the list of players. Okay, here's the list of players on the all-time scoring list that aren't in the Hall of Fame that are ahead of him. Dirk, who probably will be.
Yeah, he's in.
LeBron,
he's in.
Will be. Paul Pierce, will be.
Yep.
Kevin Garnett, will be. Ray Allen. I guess probably will
well,
be.
Well, based on what we've seen, yeah. Don't you think he's in?
Vince Carter?
He'll make it, but if he makes it, I think T-Mac makes it. They kind of had similar...
Except Vince Carter had way more longevity than...
Yeah, he lasted longer, but I think McGrady was better in his prime.
I'll probably agree with that.
Vince Carter was never quite as good as I thought he was going to be.
Carmelo, D-Wade... Tom Chambers, first one who's been eligible who hasn't gotten in.
No. I saw Tom Chambers play. Tom Chambers played like I used to.
Anton Jameson.
No.
No way.
Chambers was like, he prided himself on being a finisher. If he got the ball, he was supposed to finish the play.
Joe Johnson and Pau Gasol.
No.
Are active.
No.
Clifford Robinson.
No.
Walter Davis. Terry Cummings.
God, no.
Eddie Johnson, Reggie Theus, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Dale Ellis.
No.
Jason Terry, Mark Aguirre. And then Tracy McGrady.
If Mark Aguirre's not in by now, he won't get in.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I liked him as a player, but another one I wouldn't quite say was a Hall of Famer.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Tracy McGrady's one of those guys who had a short burst where he was one of the best players in the league. And then, I mean, his last probably 3 years in the league, like basically everything that happened after he left Houston was a disaster.
Yeah. And really at the end of his
career.
The end of his Houston career,
not great.
The injuries got him. I mean, when he was healthy, he was an incredible player.
And I say that, but I shouldn't oversell what he did in Toronto. He wasn't very good in Toronto either. When he got to the Magic, he became a really good player. And the entire time he was with the Magic, he was great. The first couple years he was here, he was good. He was great the first couple years he was here. And then the last couple years, eh.
Yeah, I think in his case it was almost all physical at the end. He just broke down, and it happens. But, yeah, his Toronto years, but he also was coming straight out of high school.
Took him a while to adjust.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, it's not like he burst on the scene and was fantastic. It's not like he was LeBron James.
No, no.
It took him a while.
But how many guys out of high school were they? Even Kobe wasn't that good first year. I'd have to go back and look, but was KG, I think, might have been pretty good right off the bat.
KG was pretty good off the bat.
But most of the guys that came straight from high school, it was not instant success. I want to remind you that that Canelo Chavez Jr. fight at T-Mobile Arena coming up on May 6th. You can get Cinco de Mayo started early with Mexican superstars Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. They're in Houston's Minute Maid Park Thursday, February 23rd. So that's this week. Doors open at 12 noon. Canelo versus Chavez Jr. is May 6th. Tickets available at AXS.com. So you get a chance to see both guys coming through town.
I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that they're doing that.
They're getting down. I guess they're getting. What are they doing? Coming down here for the Latin audience, trying to get the Latin audience excited.
I wonder what Bob Arum would say about that.
They need the Mexican dollars. We got to get those dollars for the pay per views to work. But they do spend money on pay per view boxing. That's about it.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
So racist, by the way. I'll never understand how he gets away with it.
Yeah, it's just what he does. Speaking of, we don't talk a lot of NASCAR, and we're not going to talk a lot of NASCAR, but apparently there is a backlash because I guess Monster Energy is the new sponsor.
Okay.
So they have the Monster Energy girls who are going to be at the races, right? And apparently there are a lot of people who are complaining about inappropriate outfits.
Like they're saying they're too revealing?
Yes. And I have to say, as far as, you know, hot girls go that you're using to promote stuff, I don't think I've seen more clothes.
I haven't seen these outfits.
I will show them to you. They're all black. And there's some breastage, but there's a full top.
It's not inappropriate at all.
No, if there's full top, there's kind of black yoga pants and black boots.
No, that's almost too much clothes.
For someone
who does promos.
Exactly. If you want a hot group, who the hell is complaining about this? What the hell's wrong with you, NASCAR? What's wrong with your fans? Yeah, NASCAR need to rethink those uniforms for the Monster Energy girls if they don't want naughty jokes. What? Not a fan of the Monster Girl style. Bring back Miss Sprint Cup. What the hell is that?
What was Miss Sprint Cup wearing?
Have no idea. Pretty girls and racing go together, no argument. However, Monster Drink, I think this is too much. NASCAR is a family show. What the hell?
Miss Sprint Cup wore like a driver's outfit.
Wow.
Man. I'd hate for these guys to watch a UFC fight and see what the girls wear.
Rookie wants to weigh in on this. Let's hear it.
This was Miss Sprint Cup. Look at her costume.
God.
Sports guys.
What's
sports
up?
To you.
Hey, just weighed in on this sprint thing. These girls, if you watch the AMA Supercross.
I don't.
They wear the exact same outfits for the dirt bikes and stuff like that. So now that Monster is sponsoring the NASCAR, the same thing. Now, the girls in the past always had to wear driver suits or fire suits or whatever to be on the good image, whatever you want to call that. But it's just these guys that don't, these people that get offended by anything anymore that just wants to talk about something they know nothing about. I'll hang up and listen.
I got to be honest. Like, isn't the demo for NASCAR like the Southern man?
Yeah, I thought so. And if you're worried about image, how many years were you the Winston Cup?
Yeah.
I think that's a little worse.
I got to say, complaining about the promo girl's outfit, that's kind of snowflakey, right?
Yeah.
They're being triggered by these costumes. It seems snowflakish.
I don't really like these costumes. I got to tell you, these girls here, they got on these.
I ain't got on enough clothes.
They look like they got them yoga pants on. Those things, you know what that shows. That shows the holiest of holies. You don't want to see that. And that's just wrong. God's going to strike them down right here in front of everybody. In fact, the car could go flying and crush those girls. You watch.
What an odd thing to be a fan
about. I know. I mean, because a girl used to be in a racing suit? That's amazing to me. Amazing to me the things that people get bent out of shape.
You know what? Under. I'm going to boycott NASCAR this year because of this. I won't watch a single race. So tired of the way they treat women and not let them dress up in slutty costumes.
Here's some more tweets. The Monster Victory Lane girls look like hookers. What's up with that?
What?
Golly.
Yeah, it's official. My boycott starts. When's the first race, Jung? You know?
No, I don't.
Honestly, I don't know how people think this is inappropriate. Okay.
Well, I can tell you, I'm not watching any NASCAR this year because of this. I'm out.
All right. Hope
you're happy, angry NASCAR fan.
See what you've done? You've chased AJ away. He was planning to watch this year. He's going to watch the Daytona 500.
Yeah. Way to. By the way, I'm a Southern man.
Right.
Way to run off your core audience.
Oh, well.
I guess the start of NASCAR season is Daytona 500.
Yeah.
February 26th.
That's like this week.
Yeah, I was all set to watch it,
too. I had a whole party planned at my house. That's canceled. Sorry, guys, if you got your Facebook invites. That party's canceled.
I would just, if my bigger complaint is, I only think there's probably three of the four that are cute.
Oh, well.
I think I'd complain about that more.
If you're looking at their faces?
Yeah. Well, it kind of is part of the package, right?
Yeah. It's a,
because you know, it's you can't, because they're so covered up, you can't really tell about everything else.
That's why if they were dressed like real skanks, you wouldn't even notice their face.
All right.
NASCAR's getting it all wrong.
832 says, unfortunately, I went to Texas Motor Speedway once. What's inappropriate is a large redneck man wearing overalls with no shirt.
That's appropriate.
Mm. Yeah, somebody says, yeah, 33 years Winston Cup and 25 years with Busch Beer in the other series. But this is no good. All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We haven't done thoughts and prayers for Sweden yet.
They've been on my mind all day.
Yeah, I think the best thing I saw was from this Bowling Green stands with you, Sweden.
It's the worst disaster since Bowling Green, for
exactly.
Sure.
Oh, man.
You look at what's happening in Germany. You look at what's happening last night in Sweden. Yep. Sweden. Who would believe this? Sweden. They took in large numbers. They're having problems like they never thought possible. You look at what's happening in Brussels. You look at what's happening all over the world. Take a look at Nice. Take a look at Paris. We've allowed thousands and thousands of people into our country, and there was no way to vet those people. There was no documentation. There was no nothing. So we're going to keep our country safe.
I really think the best thing to do if you're a politician is let your speechwriters write the speech. That's it.
That or hire better speech writers, because maybe the speech writer actually did that. It wasn't him that said the Bowling Green thing. It was his, I can't remember exactly what she was.
That's
it was
true.
His publicist, but maybe he's just got the wrong people there. And I'm too busy now. I'd love to go to work for him and be a speech writer.
I wouldn't.
I would shore things up a little bit.
But the problem is he veers off. I'm pretty sure he veers off all those speeches.
Probably so. Like, he's like, oh, I got this. Don't worry.
Script? What script? I don't need this.
I got this. They're feeling me right now.
Oh, man. Poor Sweden.
I know.
Even they were like, what happened last night? Could you let us know?
I think they released a statement saying, please let your president know to clarify. Or I think it said something like, please tell your president to clarify his statements on Sweden.
You know, I'm really trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I really am. But
I'm not.
It's just not quite working. But did you see the reason where he said he saw it on Fox News?
Yeah. But that's not fake. Fox News is the only real news. How could they have said that?
Oh, God.
How could they have said that, Fred? They're the only real news.
Don't you have security advisors? Isn't that where you should be getting your information?
Everything else is fake except them. How could they have given us fake news?
Oh, boy.
I think Sweden's having a little bit of fun with this. They sent out prayers and thoughts to the people of Bowling Green.
Yeah. There we go. So that's two now.
# last night in Sweden.
God. Maybe a fight broke out at a hockey game? Maybe.
We laugh, but this is real life.
Is it real life? It's reality TV. That's all it is. That's all it is.
They hashtagged it, Jesus is IKEA.
No. Yeah. Okay. Sweden's making fun of us now. I don't need this.
Well, everybody's making fun of us. They have been for years. It's not just now. People have been making fun of the United States for years. We make it easy to be made fun of.
We are making it easy.
Yeah. And Yeah, that's, oh well. Make fun of us, Sweden. You still have to wear that weird cross on your jerseys, so there's that. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. We didn't get a chance to talk about this the other day, but see your buddy James Harden saying he was the best player in the world.
Okay.
To be fair to him, he makes a pretty compelling case, and he also says every great player should think they're the greatest.
I believe that.
And so it's not as inflammatory as it sounds when you look at the headline.
But I also like to think that a guy who's never won anything substantial in his career would say, I feel like once I win a championship, I'll be on the level with these greats. You know what I mean?
So here's what he said when he's asked, are you the best player in the world right now? For sure, I feel like I'm solid in everything. IQ.
He's lying.
Well, let me finish. Okay. IQ, studying the game. I can score the basketball, make my teammates better, which is true. His assist numbers are through the roof.
Agreed.
There are not a lot of guys that have all those characteristics in one. They might be way more athletic, can shoot the ball way better, but everything solid in one human body? You can ask all those top guys who the best player is, of course they're going to say themselves. Because as a basketball player, you're confident in your craft. It's not taking shots at anybody, it's confidence.
I wonder if that's true.
Pretty sure LeBron would say that, but all those things he described.
Well, LeBron's the only one who can say it and be right.
Well,
unfortunately,
but if you take all those things he said about himself,
that's LeBron.
That's LeBron. Yeah,
except he's more athletic than him.
Well, that's yeah,
and plays defense.
Well, James has played much better defense this year. I think that it's a little.
Has he played the kind of defense that you could say, "Oh, he's the best in the world"? No,
no, but I don't know what great player is playing defense on that level during the regular season at this stage. LeBron plays defense, but it's not like he's playing. I mean, he's doing everything else well, too. But I noticed he didn't mention defense in that particular
quote.
Yeah,
he left that out. That doesn't count.
But no, IQ, studying the game, score the basketball, make your teammates better. That all sounds like LeBron, too.
I want someone to actually measure James Harden's IQ.
Basketball IQ is different.
Oh, okay.
Because
he just said IQ.
Yeah, but
I feel like everybody's running around here acting like they got a great IQ.
I'm sure he's talking about basketball IQ because, you know, your sports IQ is a different animal. Like Joe Montana was on the field a genius, off the field. Yeah, he's got an IQ of 4. Yeah. Maybe 5. All right. One more segment to go. We got a dumbass report coming up. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
Sports! And we're back. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go, or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store. Download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Probably cannot stream us on a dumb device.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the dumbass report.
All right. Let's start with, speaking of policy, Trump policy. Two hunters accused in a shooting on a remote Texas ranch near the border told authorities they were attacked by immigrants who had entered the country illegally. Presidio County Sheriff Danny Dominguez said that a grand jury indicted Michael Bryan and Walker Daugherty last week on charges of using deadly conduct by discharging firearms in the direction of others. The charges stem from an incident in January where police responded to a call about a shooting on a ranch. And they found Daugherty and another man in the hunting party, Edwin Roberts, with gunshot wounds. The men were part of a group of hunters and told authorities they were attacked by people who had illegally crossed the nearby border and tried to steal an RV some of the hunters were using. An investigation found that Daugherty shot Roberts and then Bryant shot Daugherty. Not wise.
I'm going to shoot you and then you shoot me and then we're going to blame it on those immigrant fellas.
There was no evidence of cross-border violence. Unfortunately for everyone. Let's go with... Oh, here's a good one. It's if you find, like, let's say you were watching pornography and you said, oh man, that girl looks familiar. She looks like, let's say, your friend that you went to college with and you're really close with. Maybe you text that to her, say, hey, I found your doppelganger, your porno doppelganger. What you don't do is, if you're watching pornography and run across a picture that looks like your boss.
Oh, no.
You don't screenshot that and send it to your boss, particularly if you're a cop and she's your lady cop boss. He showed not only to her, but to his colleagues, telling them it looked just like their detective sergeant. The officer of 14 years insisted it was a joke, but his boss said it left her feeling humiliated and dirty at a misconduct hearing yesterday. To try and keep face in front of the rest of my team for the rest of the day was really hard. He repeatedly shared the explicit image with colleagues in a canteen and report writing room before he sent it to her over WhatsApp. Lee called him into her office at the Crawley Police Station in West Sussex and told him, you were inappropriate, unprofessional, and out of order. He was dismissed, but later reinstated after he lodged an appeal against the ruling. On Thursday, the case was brought back, where D.S. Lee said the incident left her feeling embarrassed and disgusted, humiliated, and dirty. And he broke down in tears in court, said he was desperately sorry for the lapse in behavior and apologized sincerely. The misconduct panel said it was left with no option but to dismiss him without notice.
Well, can I just ask a question here? Would it have been this bad if he had screenshot her at the beginning while they've got clothes on and say, hey, this looks like you?
Maybe that would have been more acceptable. But I'm guessing he found a mid-stroke image.
Yeah, well, that's a fail.
Guy stole a car in Tennessee and went on a four-hour chase.
Jeez.
And he got cornered, police say. Climbed into a very tall tree nearby. Other officers climbed nearby trees and attempted to talk him down to no avail. When police tried to physically apprehend him, he fell out of the tree, sustaining multiple fractures. Police are still looking for the gun that he's reported to have carried and are asking citizens to call if they see, but he's charged with burglary, trespassing, car theft, and resisting arrest. And in his mugshot, he looks like a guy who fell out of a tree.
Yeah. And looks like a guy who would do all those things you just mentioned.
And also meth.
Yeah.
And finally, speaking of meth, this is like a Breaking Bad situation here.
Okay.
An Ontario mother is outraged after her 13-year-old son was handed instructions for making and injecting crystal meth as part of a drama class assignment.
Oh, boy.
The incident took place at Aaron Mills Middle School in Mississauga, Ontario.
That's where the current wife used to live, in Mississauga.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, geez.
It's a meth center up there?
Not really, but apparently they're working their way towards it.
According to the lady's son, the unnamed eighth grade teacher, printed out the instructions as part of an acting assignment and instructed the students to act scared when making the drug and to act happy when injecting it.
Oh, God.
Don't do meth!
Strangely, the teacher thought it appropriate to provide the actual instructions for producing meth. The document apparently provided such instructions as, give your arms a wipe with alcohol wipes or use a wet wipe. This is to prevent any bacteria infection. Given how difficult it is to cook crystal meth, it's unlikely the students would have tried to do it themselves. But the decision to provide injection instructions while having the students portray a user as being happy is clearly a display of poor judgment. The teacher has been suspended.
Well, that's what happened when Rob Ford was your mayor.
Yep. That
probably needed instructions.
RIP, by the way.
Yeah. Poor Rob Ford. He would be in my Deadpool if he were still alive.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to wrap
Gone
it up.
Gone too soon, they say.
Yeah, yeah. That combination of meth and drinking and, yeah. Want to thank Jong Lee. Very good job today. AJ Hoffman, very good job today. Did okay for a Monday. We'll try it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.